The following podcast represents the opinions of the host and is for educational purposes. These are not accusations, and everybody is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Due to the graphic nature of this episode, listener discretion is advised.
Did you know walking in there that you were going to tell us? Or did you think...
I knew there was a reason you brought me back in. I know, well, for the...
What'd you think about the polygraph?
That was horrible.
Why'd you say that?
I don't know how you do that.
Why do you say that?
Because Tammy's a torturer.
I'm not!
No, like, I mean,
tell me.
You answered, you asked me questions for like 3 or 4 hours beforehand, and then you do the polygraph, and it's like you just break down somebody's brain to where, like...
Too much,
like,
or
too
what?
Too much. Jello, and it's just like, I know it's, you guys have a job, and you have a plan, and that's, you executed it.
She's thorough, right? There's no way to get out of there without the truth.
No, I mean, I kind of knew, like, because right when you asked me about, like, Saturday night, when I told your brother walking, I was like, man, she was, like, going through her head. I was like, fucking
lie. Well, we found out about Nikki right before the polygraph.
I figured that out after with meeting with John and everybody she had met with somebody from the CBI, like on the 14th or the 15th. I was just like, they were talking. Okay. So you already knew.
I mean, I didn't know how extensive it was, but yes, we knew.
Yeah, I mean, walking in there that day, just walking into that room, I knew I wasn't walking out.
Yeah.
Just the feeling I had walking in that room.
Yeah.
Just seeing, I mean, I don't remember if the polygraph stuff was already in there. I think it was. But it was, I knew
it. I just feel like sometimes when people, you know, do the bad thing and they stay, like, some part of me thinks, well, I think they're here because they really want to tell us what happened. Because it's not normal that you want to keep all that in. Like, that just kills people on the inside, and I could tell it was killing you that day.
When Chris Watts arrived at the Frederick Police Department on Wednesday, August 15th, to take his polygraph test, just 2 days after his family's disappearance, he was nervous. Anybody would be. But Chris Watts was hiding a dark secret, and why he would have agreed to take that polygraph test in the first place is anyone's guess. When it comes to true crime content, these interview videos are incredible. The way agents do their job just fascinates me. The way they put the suspect at ease, while at the same time digging deeper and deeper into the story. It's all real life and there's no acting. Pure emotion and genuine reactions. Chris Watts tries his best to keep things together, but little did he know agents had already spoken with Nicole Kessinger, and they were well aware of their relationship. She got a head start on things and contacted police herself. After Chris Watts gave law enforcement his cell phone, they immediately began dissecting it for every piece of information they could, and they found a lot. Aside from an emotional conversation, though, Chris Watts was adamant that there was nothing suspicious about things the morning of his family's disappearance. Shanann was going on a playdate with the girls, and he went to work. Just a typical day. Although Chris revealed to authorities that him and Shanann were separating, there was no cause for alarm, and he told them there was nobody else in his life. That's what he told them. But things were starting to fall apart for Chris Watts, and his plan was beginning to crumble. And before the day was over, his life would be changed forever.
Something about is, as we mentioned yesterday, knocking out the polygraph.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that today?
Okay.
Why don't we do that now?
Okay.
We'll get that out of the way when you're done. This is Tammy. Did you meet Tammy yesterday?
No, that's okay. The only one
is Tammy.
Chris would be sitting down with CBI agent Tammy Lee, who would be conducting the polygraph test. Agent Tammy Lee is an unassuming-looking woman. She has short blonde hair, and she doesn't strike you as someone who would be an agent for the Colorado Bureau of Investigation. Dressed in a black and white striped sweater and blue blouse, she sits cross-legged and appears cool and collected. A smile stretches thinly across her face, and everything about her seems welcoming. She reminds me of my kindergarten teacher, kind, patient, and willing to listen.
Focus on this. Yeah. Focus on this, let's knock it out, and then let's talk.
Okay.
All right?
You'll come in. I'll go get you when we're done.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah,
thanks. I'm going to have a seat right here, Chris.
Sit on this?
Yep, I know. I'll explain what that is here in a little bit, but you don't have to worry. It's not on or anything right now. It's not going to buzz you or anything.
I've never done this before.
I know. A lot of people haven't had polygraphs before. It's not like a normal thing that people go through. A lot of people, like, obviously in law enforcement.
Sitting only a couple feet across from one another at the small white table, the conversation starts off on a light note. Agent Lee tries to put Chris at ease.
I have like no idea like what to expect, honestly.
Yeah, so how are you feeling today?
I'm sick to my stomach, honestly. Like, the first day I thought, okay, she was just somewhere.
Sure.
And after yesterday, all the activity at my house, I didn't know, it went to the other extreme. I've just been like sick to my stomach. That's either somebody has her or she's in trouble and the kids are not safe either.
Right. Well, and I think that's totally awesome that you're here today. I mean, I commend you. We do this in all of our missing person cases, so don't think that we're just singling you out like, oh my gosh, they want me to take a polygraph. Anytime, you know, someone was the last person to see people or, you know, it's a missing person case, we start from the inside and we work out. I mean, that's pretty much what we do. So I've done polygraphs on the Jessica Ridgway case. I don't know if you were here for that.
The name sounds familiar.
The girl that went missing in Westminster and all that, yeah. And then just the one that we had in Thornton last year or the year before. So we do this all the time. So please don't think that you're being singled out. Like, this is
at this point, there's no need for him to be concerned. At least, that's what they want him to think. As Agent Lee explains what's going to happen, Chris Watts looks straight ahead. He's not looking at her. He looks at the wall, nodding his head and doing his best to keep playing the part. He's nervous, and Agent Lee knows it. And at this point, she doesn't try to put him at ease. In fact, she does her best to make him uncomfortable, and it doesn't take much. Outside of the interview room, detectives and agents are watching everything unfold, analyzing every move and everything Chris says. When you're taking a polygraph test, the machine first registers the baseline of your vital signs. Examiners then trick you into lying by asking you a series of control questions that are only distantly related to the issue they're investigating, such as, did you ever lie to get out of trouble? Or, have you ever committed a crime? Most people will answer no to such questions because they're trying to come across as honest. But examiners assume that the answer to at least one control question will really be yes. After all, you've probably lied at some point or another, and even jaywalked. As I listened to the polygraph interview, I had the feeling that Agent Tammy Lee already had her suspicions about Chris Watts' guilt. With everything she already knew going into the interview, she played her cards real close and didn't let Chris Watts know exactly how much she knew. But Agent Lee definitely put Chris under the pressure, and right from the start, she hints to Chris that this won't be as easy as he thinks.
Obviously, you're probably nervous about taking today's test. Honestly, I would think something is wrong with you if you weren't nervous about coming in here to take a polygraph.
Yeah.
Even if people are like, I don't have anything to hide, it is nerve-wracking.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I have taken tons of polygraphs, obviously, in my training. I went to 10 weeks for training. I've been a polygrapher for about 5 years. I went to the best school in the country. So I want you to have confidence in the fact that if you had nothing to do with this disappearance, like, we're going to find that out today, okay? I have the best training that they offer in the United States. We use the most validated testing, the way I'm going to ask you the questions. So believe me, if you had nothing to do with this, I will be able to show them that today. And obviously, I mean, I hope that, you know, if you did have something to do with their disappearance, it would be really stupid for you to come in and take a polygraph today.
Exactly.
Right? Like, it would be really dumb. Like, you should not be here right now sitting in this chair if you had anything to do with Shanann and the little girl's disappearance. Okay?
Even before the start of the polygraph, Agent Lee told Chris he was allowed to leave anytime he wanted to. He could get up at any point through the interview and go home, no questions asked. But in Chris Watts' mind, that wouldn't be something someone should do who just lost their whole family. In his mind, if he didn't agree to the test, things might seem suspicious. The only other reason I could think of that Chris Watts agreed to sit down and take this polygraph was that he actually thought in his mind that he could beat it. Maybe he thought that he was such a good liar that he could fake his way through it all and get on with his new life. But Chris Watts wasn't a good liar. The series of events leading up to Chris Watts' first confession is kind of a two-part story. The first part of that story is the initial polygraph test, which we're going to look into in this episode, and examine certain aspects of the interview that stood out to me and struck me as unusual, and could perhaps even provide clues to what really happened on the morning of August 13th, 2018. This is The Watts Tapes. I'm your host, Garrett, and this is the seventh chapter in this series. If Chris Watts was thinking clearly, he could have told law enforcement that he wanted to focus on finding his family. He could have said that he didn't have time for the lie detector test, which would have been a waste of their resources when the real criminals were still at large and his family was still missing. nobody would have blamed him for it. But he didn't. True psychopaths can pass polygraph tests. Not all of them, but some can. Why? Because they don't register emotions the way most of us do. At this point, Agent Lee still hasn't even started the polygraph test. She's just testing Chris. She's asking him questions to figure out exactly what she needs to ask him, and she makes sure not to reveal what she already knows. She asks Chris about everything leading up to his family's disappearance, and then she asks him about everything that happened after their disappearance. Sitting back in her chair, Agent Lee just listens. And then, she gets down to business.
So if I ask you on the polygraph test if you physically caused Shanann's disappearance, can you pass that question?
She catches Chris off guard. Sitting up in her seat now, she pushes him further.
What do you think I mean by that when I'm asking you if you physically caused Shanann's disappearance?
If I...
What does that mean to you?
If you ask me that, like, I feel like you're asking me, did I have anything to do with it myself, or did I help somebody do it? And I had no part in any of that.
And I know it's totally awful to think about, but what are ways, because I need to make sure that you know what I'm talking about.
And then she asked a question that kind of caught me by surprise.
What are ways that you can make someone disappear?
It was out of nowhere, but perfectly placed. And the following conversation would, once again, raise more questions than answers.
I mean, like, if you're talking about, like, what I've seen, like, on the movies, or, like, how people, if you read about other people, I mean, you hire somebody.
Like a hitman?
Yeah, I'm just being honest.
No, that's what I want.
Agent Lee pushes Chris further. His response is not very creative.
That's what I want, because I want you to go through all of these scenarios in your head, because I want you to know for sure what I'm talking about when I say that, you know, asking you if you physically caused her disappearance.
Okay, like you'd hire somebody, or you'd have somebody you know that would do it. I mean, it's like, it's hard.
It's
a hard question to answer.
Right.
Because I didn't have nothing to do with this disappearance. Right. But like, I don't even want to think about, like, if you're asking me, like, how I would do it. It's like,
no, anyone. Like, anyone, how would anyone cause someone else's disappearance?
I mean, you would.
You could cause someone's disappearance by murdering them. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So, what different physical ways could you cause someone's disappearance through murder? You could stab someone.
Stab someone, shoot someone, hit them with a blunt object. What else is there? I mean, use a weapon like gun or knife. I mean.
Okay.
You could,
and then she says it.
You could smother someone. You could strangle someone.
Hang someone. I mean, yeah, you can, all that kind of thing.
They continue talking, imagining every possible way to kill someone. Anyway, to drop them from an airplane, to push them into a meat grinder, to bury them in a giant pit of meatballs, anything. And this is what Chris says.
What other ways can you think of?
As far as lure them into a trap, I guess.
So what do you mean? What?
Like, you know, like, have somebody waiting, like, around the corner, and, like, you know, a accident that happened, hit by car, I mean, something like that.
Sure.
I don't want to say the same thing there, but,
you could kidnap them and take them and, lock them up in a basement somewhere, or, you know what I mean? They could still be alive, but
you're torturing. So you could, take them somewhere, torture them, and let them sit there without food or water.
Mm-hmm. Or even kidnap them and leave them somewhere that they are, you know, not being tortured. Just that they can't get out, and, you know, obviously they've disappeared because you've not allowed them to come back into society and have people see them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. What other ways could you make someone disappear?
Poison.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. citizens.
I know.
Like, well, that's the same that you've already said that.
Which one are you?
Like, beat somebody, I guess, to the point, yeah. Like, to the point where they're unconscious and they're in a coma.
Sure.
So
if I ask you that question on the test, Chris, are you going to have any issue with that? About you,
like,
physically causing,
like, going through every single one of those?
Yeah, like, that would be a way,
okay,
you could cause someone's disappearance.
Okay. No, I can definitely, like, I can pass. I mean,
you could murder them, you could kidnap them, you could take them to another country, you could, you know, bury them in your backyard, you could do a million things.
Yeah.
As far as trying to conceal them.
Yeah.
Right? So that no one can find them.
Yes.
Because at this point, she's gone.
Yes.
And the girls are gone. Like, we don't know where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're assuming the worst, but hoping the best. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that you're kind of in that spot too.
Yeah.
So if I ask you that question, if you physically caused her disappearance. So when I say physically caused, I say it that way because I don't want you to feel, well, everyone has guilt, right? And I don't want you to feel like, you know what, I told her that I didn't want to be with her anymore. So I probably caused her disappearance because she obviously took off with the girls and because of what I told her. That I didn't want to be with her anymore.
I mean, that's why I feel like a jackass right now.
Right. So when I ask you the question on the test, I'm not asking you about guilt. I'm not asking you about, did you make her feel so horrible that she ended up leaving? I'm saying that you were the one that physically caused her to disappear.
Okay.
Either by murder, kidnapping, you know, all of those other things,
okay,
that we went through, okay?
You want me to list, all those? Like,
no, no, no.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Just going to say no to that question.
Okay.
When I ask you if you physically caused Shanann's disappearance,
okay,
your answer should be what?
No.
Right.
As Agent Lee and Chris Watts sat in squad room number 2 of the Frederick Police Department discussing the disappearance of his family and getting ready to start the polygraph test, Investigator William DeWitt of the Firestone Police Department met with agents of the Colorado Bureau of Investigation and a representative from Chris Watts' employer, Anadarko, Luke Eppel, at the Love's Truck Stop in Hudson, Colorado. They were asked by Commander Dave Egan of the Frederick Police Department to assist in searching the area around an oil site in Weld County for anything that might be related to the disappearance of Shanann Watts and her 2 daughters, Bella and Celeste. Luke Eppel led law enforcement to the site, which was known as Surrey 319, and told them that Chris Watts was there the morning of their disappearance. The site was surrounded by a barbed wire fence, and within that fence to the south was the well, to the northeast of the well was a separator, and to the northwest of the separator was a small tank and 2 larger tanks. The agent sent the drone into the air and began surveying the landscape for anything suspicious. Within a few minutes, they saw something. It looked like some type of white cloth in the field to the south of the site. The drone flew in closer and hovered over the white fabric. As the agents walked south towards the material, they came across an area where the ground had been disturbed. It looked like someone had been digging there. And that white fabric agents found? That was a bedsheet. When they reported their findings, they discovered that a fitted bedsheet was reported missing from the Watts home. This sheet had the same patterns on it. Back in squad room number 2, Agent Lee and Chris Watts are ready to get started with the test. At this point, they've already been in that room for hours, and after some preliminary easy question and answers, Agent Lee is ready to get things going. I'm going to play a portion of the polygraph test. Keep in mind that at this point, Chris Watts can still get up and leave at any time. That's what anybody with common sense would do at this point. But common sense is one thing that Chris Watts lacks.
Do you have any issues with the questions as far as you physically causing Shanann's disappearance? Is there anything that you are like, I don't like how that question's, you know, worded, maybe, you know.
No.
Does it cause you, or you know exactly what I'm talking about?
I know, yeah. I'm there.
Okay, and as far as the last time you saw her, you know, I'm talking about in the bed,
yeah,
when you saw her makeup coming, mm-hmm, out of her face, and then if you know where she is now.
Yeah.
Having direct knowledge of, mm-hmm, where she would be at this moment. Okay? Okay. The test is about to begin. Please remain still. Do you understand that I will only ask you the questions we have discussed?
Yes.
Regarding Shanann's disappearance, do you intend to answer all of the questions truthfully?
Yes.
Are you now in the state of Colorado?
Yes.
Before 2018, have you ever wanted to hurt someone to get even with them?
No.
Are you lying about the last time you saw Shanu?
No.
The polygraph test has just started, and already Chris Watts has failed. He's lying, and Agent Lee knows it. The test goes on. But things are already obvious, and the tension in the air could almost be cut with a knife. After the test is done, Agent Lee gets up, collects her computer, and walks out of the room. Chris Watts just sits there, shoulders hunched.
So I need to go grade this.
Okay.
So I will... Do you need to use the restroom or anything again?
I'm good right now.
Okay. Remember I told you about technology? Mm-hmm. My computer just died, so...
Oh.
The panic look that shot across Chris Watts' face was so obvious that I almost wonder if that was a staged move just to see what he would do and how he would react.
I'm gonna grab my power cord real quick.
Yeah.
Do you have any crackers or anything?
No, I'm fine.
Are you sure? Okay.
No.
At this point, he's sweating. The only sound in the room is the ticking of the clock and his heartbeat. As the minutes drag on, he's left alone with his thoughts as agents review the results of the polygraph. At this point, they've already been made aware of what was found at Survey 319, and things are about to get serious. After more than a half hour, Agent Lee returns, but her mood seems different. Her body language says something.
Hey, sorry.
Hi,
my computer was...
You're fine.
Turd.
She collects all of her equipment and makes small talk. Before taking her stuff and leaving again.
Blow up.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
good.
When she gets back, she's not alone. Agent Coder is with her, and the two sit down.
Oh, gosh, I didn't forget part of it, didn't I? So I brought Graham in here because we want to talk to you about the results, okay?
Sure.
So it is completely clear that you were not honest during the testing, and I think you already know that. You did not pass the polygraph test.
Okay.
Okay. So now we need to talk about what actually happened. I feel like you're probably ready to do that.
I didn't lie to you on that polygraph, I promise. Chris, I know.
Chris, stop.
It's time.
Stop for a minute. Take a deep breath. I want you to take a deep breath right now.
There's a reason you feel sick to your stomach. And when people hold stuff inside, it makes you physically ill. And I can just tell on your face, I could tell from the second you walked in that you were wanting to just come clean and just be done with this. And I appreciate that because you knew sitting down in that chair that you weren't gonna pass today. And you knew I was gonna find out because I told you that. And then you continued to stay knowing that you could at the end say, you know what? I just need to get this off my chest. Like, I just need to tell you what happened. We're not here to play games. We're not here to do any of that with you. We just want to know what happened. So can you start from the beginning and tell us what happened?
Everything that I've told you, I did not lie on this polygraph. I don't know how much I could tell you right now. Like, I did not.
It's not even an option right now because you did not pass the polygraph. So I know you were being deceptive. So that's not even an issue right now. The issue right now is what happened to Shanann, Bella, and Celeste.
To join the discussion and gain access to police reports, interviews, and material related to this episode, head to theunforgivables.com. Content is updated weekly, and you're welcome to review the documents and come to your own conclusions.
Thanks for listening to The Watts Tapes. We'll be back next week with a new episode, and you can listen to all the episodes of The Watts Tapes for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, as well as anywhere else you listen to podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave a 5-star review. It really does help.